Good morning. Merry Christmas. We can still say Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Hope you're all doing okay in that weird bit between Christmas and New Year. I know it's Sunday. I have no idea what date it is. I don't know what day comes next. I'm completely confused. And I am now probably 75% cheese as my makeup of my body, I should think, by now. So I hope you had a good time. Christmas is one of those times, isn't it, where we have lots of rituals, lots of traditions. It can be very similar each year. When we decorate our house and our tree, we've got a particular CD of carols, and we always play the same CD at the start as we're decorating the tree. I've done that for about 30 years now. That's what we do. And we have our traditions here, don't we? We have the carol service, we had the midnight service up at St. Edmunds, we were here on Christmas Day, we sing lots of familiar carols. There's lots that's the same. And I don't know about you, but on Christmas Day we have our rituals about when we open the presents from Father Christmas in the stockings, what we have for breakfast, scrambled egg with smoked salmon, just so you know, and bacon sandwiches. And then for Christmas lunch, we're very traditional, roast turkey, roast potatoes, pigs in blankets, red cabbage, leeks and white sauce, all the stuff. We love it. And part of why we love it is not only does it taste good, it's very familiar. It's what we do. And having those traditions and that familiarity is really fun, isn't it? And I'm sure all of you have got your own little traditions, your own rituals, the things that you do every year that are part of your family. And having those rituals and traditions is really good fun. It makes us feel part of what's going on. And one of the great traditions, of course, is pulling crackers. I love pulling the crackers. There are, as you know, you always get three things in a cracker, don't you? They're really predictable. What do you get? First of all, you get your hat, you get your paper crown. And then we always have the thing, who's going to be the last one wearing the hat at the end of the afternoon so we can all laugh at them and go, ha-ha, you're still wearing it. So you got the paper crown, you get your what else do you get? Well, you get your cracker joke, and you can't beat a good cracker joke, can you? It's one of my favourite parts of the day, telling the cracker jokes. What do elves do when they get home from school? Their gnome work. And my favourite one, what did Mrs. Claus say when Father Christmas asked her what the weather was doing? She said, it's reindeer. Hey! So a good cracker joke. And what's the third thing you get? You get the hat, you get the joke, and you get a present, you get a gift, don't you? And the weird thing about crackers is the cheaper the crackers, the better the gifts. Buy your cheap ones, you're going to get a yo-yo. You might even get the fortune-telling fish, which has got to be the best one, hasn't it? Buy expensive, and you're liable to get some nail clippers and a set of screwdrivers that don't work. So buy cheap if you want to. So I've got my cracker here, which has got all, you know, predictable. We know what's going to be in it. Can someone come and help me pull my cracker, and we'll get a hat and a joke? Is there someone to come and help pull my... Come on, quick. Right.
So we know what's in crackers, don't we? Jokes and hats and a toy. Right, okay, you hold that then. Ready? One, two, three.
I wonder if you were expecting gold coins when we pulled the cracker. Because actually, whilst Christmas is a time of real tradition and predictability and sameness, it's actually a story completely the opposite. It's a story of unpredictability. It's a story of unexpected, where people started to expect the unexpected. The Christmas story, as you know, starts with Mary being visited by the angel Gabriel. It was just a normal day for her. She was just sitting there doing whatever Mary was doing, and suddenly the angel Gabriel visits. That is about as unexpected as life gets. And then, not only did the angel visit, very unexpected, the news he had for her was a complete bombshell. You're going to have a baby. Okay? Really not expecting that. The story starts with something really, really unexpected. And then, of course, she gets pregnant, she's going to have a baby, and then, out of the blue, for the first time ever, the Romans say, we're going to do a census, you're all going to have to travel to another part of the country. She didn't see that coming, I expect, when she was planning on what was going to happen when she had her baby. Something else unexpected. And I expect when she was thinking and talking to Elizabeth about giving birth, her thinking about what I'm going to do with my baby didn't involve sticking it in a feeding trough because there wasn't anywhere else to put the baby. Completely unexpected. And of course, we've just heard the story from Luke chapter 2 of the shepherds, just ordinary chaps out in the field looking after sheep on what they thought was an ordinary night. They had no idea that anything was going to happen. And we're sitting there and they're chatting about sheep, presumably, and they're looking out for wolves or whatever it is you do when you're a shepherd out there. And they're sitting there being normal shepherds on a normal night, and suddenly angels appear. Completely unexpected. And the angels appear and then tell them that the Saviour of the world has been born. Not the news they were expecting that night. Completely unexpected. So they decide they're going to go and find it. Meanwhile, there's Mary, having just given birth, feeling presumably exhausted. There's Joseph with a new baby, presumably thinking, what on earth do I do with this and which way up does it go? And visitors arrive. Now, if you've ever had children or you've known people who had children, visitors do arrive. Tends to be family, the in-laws or your mother or your father. Tends to be who arrives, not random workmen. It would be a bit of a shock if you were giving birth, you had a baby at the QE, and or the women's hospital, and you're lying there, and the nurses and the doctors go, you've got some visitors. It's 10 random workmen from down the road have turned up to say congratulations. You'd probably go, nice. Bit unexpected, to be honest, not really what I was hoping for. Completely unexpected. Mary's first visitors were some random shepherds she'd never seen before and presumably never saw again. Completely random. It's all unexpected. And of course, a short while later, even stranger visitors arrive. Magi, wise men, astrologers from a completely different country turn up. It would be like you're sitting there, you're back home, you've got your baby, it's a few months old, you're still getting used to it. Knock on the door. It's the foreign minister and the civil servants from Azerbaijan have come to say congratulations. You'd probably go, bit unexpected. Wasn't really looking for that, but very nice. Come on in, have a cup of tea. And then they give you extraordinary expensive gifts, not just a baby grow. And some booties. Now, here's, have some gold. Have some precious incense. Have incense that we put on dead bodies. You're probably going to go, that's not what I was expecting, but thank you very much. Completely unexpected. And the Bible tells us that Mary, whilst no doubt she was thinking, what's going on? Pondered all these things in her heart. And it carried on. We'll hear in January, after the Magi visited, Joseph says to Mary, we've got to leave the country because Herod wants to kill our baby. Not the news you expect as a new parent, having to flee. Everything was unexpected. But I think it's interesting that Mary thought of all those things, because when Jesus grew up 30 years later, before he'd performed any miracles, they went to a wedding together. You know the story? And they're at the wedding, and Mary says to the people, when they've run out of wine, go and ask Jesus, he'll tell you what to do. I think she knew that he could do the unexpected. I think she remembered that he was born in an unexpected way, and he would do the unexpected. And he did. He turned water into wine. He then went on to heal people just by saying a single word. He went on to tell the wind and waves to behave themselves, and they did. He went on to say, I can forgive your sins. Not God can, I can. And people were so outraged that he ever said that. Completely unexpected. All his life, he did the unexpected. And of course, at the end, after he died, he rose to life again. The complete game changer, the complete twist in the plot, the completely unexpected. Even though he told people, everyone was surprised. No one expected it. His life started with the unexpected and continued right through to the end. Everything unexpected. People had to learn to look for the unexpected. So our question, my question for us today, as we head into the new year, do we still expect the unexpected? Christmas becomes so familiar that we put it all in the right place. There's Gabriel, there's Jesus, there's the shepherds, there's the wise men, job done, right, let's move on. Are we looking for Jesus to do the unexpected? There's a verse in Ephesians, one of my favourite verses, where Paul writes, "Now to him who is able to do more than we can ask or imagine." And I've heard lots of people use that verse. But really what they mean is, I want God to do more of what I can already imagine. More people, more money, more success, all things they can imagine, not unexpected. When we think of St. Christopher's in the coming year, are we praying for the unexpected? When we think of our own lives and what Jesus might do for us, are we praying for the unexpected, or do you want Jesus to carry on doing what we've always known and let's just keep it the same? Are we ready for the unexpected? If you went back and met me at 20 years old, quite a long time ago now, I was living in the south of England. If you'd said to me then, Andrew, you're 20 now, by the time you're 58, that's now, you'll have lived in Birmingham most of your life, and you will have friends of every different religion, and you will visit places of worship, and you will be known in those places, I would have gone, no way. That's not what God's going to do for me. That's unimaginable from where I am. And yet, that's what's happened. God has done the unexpected. It's not been big and dramatic, it's just kind of evolved over the years. So when we look to the future, when we pray and ask Jesus for things, when we have our intercessions, do we want Jesus to stay in the manger where we always know, just to be the same? Or are we ready to expect the unexpected? Amen.
We're going to have an opportunity now to respond to some of what's just been said. And we're going to do it through this great carol while shepherds watch their flock. So if you're able, can I invite you to stand?